Was it a conscious decision you made, or was it something you kind of evolved into?
Well, I think, you know, I grew up in the city, in Toronto, and as a young girl growing up, I had the fantastic opportunity to be in the Girl Guides. And I just loved all the outdoor stuff, the hiking, the cooking with a fire, living in a tent. I mean, I just thrived on that and always wanted to move out of the city and into the country. And went many times looking, but you had to drive hours and hours and hours. And, you know, you got out of the city and then it was hours of farmland and, you know, eventually you got to kind of the forest or the wilderness or whatever. So it never happened. And then I was teaching at a high school in North York and my department head's wife was from CEI and they had a cottage here. So I came down to visit a few times and then they decided to build an energy efficient home here and I came down a few times to help them. And I thought, you know, this is what I want to do too. So I bought some land, that's the land where you see there, and came to PEI on a year's leave of absence and, you know, started thinking about how that would happen. I'd come actually, no, before I took the leave of absence, I came down and actually bought the land. And then the following year, time off and signed up for a course for woodlot maintenance and chainsaw maintenance to learn how to cut down trees to build a house. And Tony was taking the same course because he was working in forestry at the time. And he offered to help him cut the trees and build the house.
That's a romantic story. We met her, of course,
that's how we met, and one thing led to another. And two babies along the way, and I still start from the same chainsaw.
Right. When was it you first bought the land?
Well, it would have been in 78, probably. Okay. Came here in 79, and after the year's leave of absence, I wrote them and said, sorry, I won't be coming back. And I think it was, you know, fairly intentional to build, to, you know, for kind of a back of the land style, not with the intention of animals, but certainly energy efficiency and living off the land as much as possible, that kind of thing for sure. So we built the house, you know, facing south for the passive solar and thick walls for lots of insulation. And we, of course, had the firewood right there to use, so we use that for heating, and we heat our water with the wood stove in the winter. And we started off with a simple solar system with an outdoor shower and gradually graduated to a better one with a shower in the greenhouse.
The shower was always outside.
It was outside on the deck for a few years.
How did you go about learning all this? You mentioned, you know, starting off learning through classes.
Sure. Well, when I was teaching, I was an industrial arts teacher. So, you know, working with tools, I mean, even in the training that I took for that, we learned how to do house wiring and that kind of thing. So, and my father was always building things, so I was used to that, but that was a thing that was possible. So, as we were going along, whenever we needed to learn how to do something, we just looked in the book. Oh, how do you build stairs? Okay, well, you look in the book and it tells you how to do it.
And when you were living in York, were you involved in environmental issues, or was it just something that you're interested in nature from your Girl Guide roots and all that?
I wasn't in any official group. Mm-hmm. I, you know, hung out with people that, you know, were starting to get into health food and would go out to the country to their land to cut wood and that kind of thing. But I wasn't involved in any environmental groups until I came to PEI, I don't think.
And so the whole idea of building that house, when did you start that? Was it?
Well, probably, you know, around the time that it would be in the mid-70s when I was thinking about it. And I started going to a thing called the Creative Problem Solving Institute in Buffalo, and I met people there who were already talking about, you know, underground houses, and were experimenting much with fuller, more with less, all, you know. I started teaching in 1973-1979, so all through those years I was reading stuff about, you know, I don't know if you're familiar with something. I'm sure you would be delighted with everything that he's written, as I was, and I have all his books. And he, you know, talked a lot about doing more of what I was saying. So I was certainly trying that way. He invented cars that, you know, used less energy, invented buildings that were prefabricated and came in a tube and could be dropped from an airplane and could live in a remote area. Certainly the dome was designed as the least amount of material to cover the most amount of space. All that stuff came along in those years, for sure.
So this is something you're thinking about, and
I think I had, you know, been sort of, you know, drawing house plans and thinking about how to build a house.
Well, still in Toronto.
Prior to coming, yeah.
Then we lived in a little cottage and fixed out of front. Still a bit of building experience. I booked three on how to build houses, and, you know.
And helping my department head build his, of course, and I gained a lot of skills from that.
Oh, we didn't know what we were getting into.
So then the way we did it was we did it over time. So the first summer we had the excavation dug and built the basement and covered that open and went to the cottage for the winter, and then came back in the spring with an infant that had been born in the meantime and built the framing and closed that in. And then spent that winter insulating that part. So that then what would be, I guess, summer. We moved in late that year. We had stove there. Worked on the upstairs, you know, doing all the inside cleaning.
This house you have now, developed over a matter of a few years.
Yeah.
You're talking about some of the energy efficient aspects of it. You positioned it correctly to take advantage of the passive heating.
Yeah. Super insulated it.
Super insulated? Okay. So that takes care of the winter time.
The local energy source, local renewable energy source, being the firewood.
Uh huh. How much? You must have some acreage then. 19 acres.
Yeah.
Okay, they'll take care of it.
Oh yeah. They say 10 acres will take care of a family of four indefinitely.
So it's heated by wood stove?
Yeah.
Okay.
And then we also cook on that wood stove and heat the water with the coil in the wood stove.
Yeah.
Did you put any wood in
for that? I did, but it will probably be getting too toxic to use it now.
You mentioned the showers outside. Was that designed a specific way, or was that
by default? Design. Mm-hmm. It was just some, the plastic piping, about an inch and a half, black plastic, just in a pink form on the roof, and the water in that would heat up, and then just a simple shower head, and stand under that, and use hot water, so there was no tank that, you wouldn't store a lot of water, but the water would heat very quickly.
Mm-hmm.
So
that's designed in an efficient manner, or is it just a simpler way of doing things?
Well, it's so simple that it is very efficient.
Okay.
But it's limited.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's only good while the sun does and the water is quite warm. The water cools off.
And then when we had the babies, we would put a child swimming pool on the deck and fill sort of fill it with the shower head, and then they could have their bath in the swimming pool.
Yeah. Yeah, do you have a community of people on the island that are living this simpler, you know, better lifestyle? Is that something you're engaged in, or were in the beginning? Were you familiar with other people living like this?
Definitely. We went around and visited a lot of people who had little homesteads, owner built houses, chatted with everybody, got ideas, and probably, you know, combined a lot of ideas from different places. Well, I remember specifically Sigrid.
Sigrid and Rob and Roy Johnson.
Okay. Yeah.
I actually helped them a bit. They
played. And Ed McLaren.
All of them. Up there.
Up our road.
He wouldn't call himself part of the central land.
Definitely very, very smart.
I don't think he was going to keep the place. Oh, he did. That's the place. That's and Benjamin Denver. And he is building his own stuff.
Yeah.
Keeping his own tractor running. Building his own sawmill, I think.
Yeah. Really?
And Steve McQueen.
Gordon McQueen.
Gordon McQueen, sorry, yeah.
Yeah, I guess from next week he goes down the road. Where at the place may still live, but it's formerly. And a lot of these people would be part of that whole environmental curve, you know, they take part of the headband. Oh, okay. I don't know if we talk to people on the development.
Oh, yeah.
And then there's also a sort of a strong community down east around not as far as Rhode Island, really, but that's Padres.
The term backfill, do you guys use that yourselves? Is it one you'd...
I think it was more popular 20 years ago.
Yeah.
It's not used much now.
Uh-huh.
But certainly applies.
Yeah, you see yourself living that. It's one of the things you...
It's a good main goal.
Yeah.
I mean, we're on the land.
Is it tough to do on PEI? Is it because there's support there for you? Is it difficult to pull off?
Oh, it's always been one of the easiest.
Yeah?
And
everybody's so friendly and willing to share their ideas.
And all the best.
And, you know, aside from having to comply with electrical and plumbing codes and basic building codes, you know, you are allowed to build an older built house without too much interference.
The lifestyle, after living it for a few years, does it live up to what you thought it'd be? Is there any big surprises to it? Are you happy with it?
Well, certainly, you know, having built our own place with, you know, our own materials and a lot of recycled materials and doing it over time, you know, if you have that kind of patience, most people want to have the perfect house built in 3 months, you know. If you have that kind of patience to look for things at yard sales and whatnot, we now have the wonderful freedom of not having to come up with $500 or $1,000 a month for mortgage.
Right.
Or rent or whatever. And then another $1,000 a month for fees and all this other stuff.
Yeah.
So all that time that we would normally be spending working to make that money, we can do other things like volunteer work and canoeing and so it's totally new.
So you mentioned patience is
I'd probably find other people that are, you know, they're really keen to go.
Yeah.
And making the time for it.